I would like to invite all our friends to 3 or 4 pages of this last chapter of Life Divine, beginning from page number 1056. Up to page number 1059, where Sri Aurobindo expounds these 4 solutions. I think the first solution, in fact, Sri Aurobindo says that the overwhelming idea of the first solution was to emphasize the search for perfected economic society. Secondly, this search for a perfected economic society was to be conducted by the powers of reason and by the powers that science has brought to mankind. But there was a further element. That element was to regard the idea that a community or society or the nation had a soul, and that each nation, particularly one nation, or the nation in which particularly this ideology arose, regarded itself to be a superior soul, where even the concept of the soul was misconceived and the communal ego was raised up to the status of a soul. And it was felt that if this idea of national subjective being called soul, but actually an ego, if people can be collected together under the force of this impulsion, and if they all come together, then a perfected economic society can be created. This is the formula. In doing so, the effort was to coerce the individual to fall in line with the demands of the communal ego. Now, the other solution had also the same idea of perfected economic society, again with the power of the reason, again putting science as the instrument for enlargement of whatever structures and productions that could be produced by science. But the idea was not a communal national egoism, but the whole humanity. It was a kind of a movement in which international community of mankind could join together so that a perfected economic society can be created. But the means are the same. Coerce the individual so that they can all come together. An individual, if he opposes, he can be curbed and to fall in line. This is the second solution that was being proposed. A third solution was, as Shobhu says, the development of an enlightened reason and will of the normal man consenting to a new socialized life in which he will subordinate his ego for the sake of the right arrangement of the life of the community. Here, the consent of the individual was conceded. But the aim is again a perfected economic society. And even ultimately, the teaching was individual should subserve himself for the larger interests of the society. And that this consent can be brought about by education, by training, and by creating a kind of a social machinery. Now, Sri Aurobindo, having studied all the three alternative solutions, in fact, we know now, historically, that all the three solutions have failed. And today, we are almost at a point where we do not know in what direction the new development must take place. It is true that after the collapse of Nazism, after the collapse of communism in Russia, in Soviet Union, and after the failure of the developed world, which was capitalistic, which was socialistic partly, and which was partly swaying between the two alternatives, we do not know as yet where to turn. And we are at this point where we are still constructing new theories of social development. And still our preoccupation is the perfection of economic society. To use our reason for that purpose and to use the power of science and creation of huge structures. And the latest development is globalization. And we do not know as yet, we are not experienced how far globalization will take us in what direction. What will be the perils and advantages and disadvantages are being discussed today at large. But there are two, three sentences of Sri Aurobindo which are very relevant, where Sri Aurobindo say that all these solutions rely upon machinery. Create social machine, create scientific machines, utilize reason as a machine, utilize individual as a machine. It is machinery that is predominant in our present thinking about social individual relationships. And Sri Aurobindo says machinery cannot form the soul and life force into standardized shapes. It can at best coerce them, make soul and mind inert and stationary, and regulate the life's outward action. But if this is to be effectively done, coercion and compression of the mind and life are indispensable, and that again spells either unprogressive stability or decadence. In three lines, Sri Aurobindo suggests a true solution. Sri Aurobindo says, man's true way out is to discover his soul and its self-force and instrumentation, and replace by it both the mechanization of mind and the ignorance and disorder of life nature. Now, you can see that in Sri Aurobindo's diagnosis, the most important thing is to ask each individual to discover his soul. This is a proposition which needs to be explored. What does it mean? Unless there come about individuals in the world in sufficiently increasingly larger number, we cannot come out of present impasse. As Sri Aurobindo pointed out, it is only when the egoism of man can be thinned to the vanishing point that the hugeness of the structures can be met by the hugeness of the individual, and that hugeness of the individual would rest in the soul of man, neither in his power of mind, nor in his power of life, nor in his power of body, but in the power of the soul. What Kant has dimly recognized, the discovery of the individual, the discovery of the individual freedom, individual discovery of a law which is categorical, a discovery which is universal, universal and therefore something that goes beyond egoism. To go beyond egoism, to remain yet the individual, and to be united with the universal, unless this happens, and unless a large number of individuals coming together, and this consciousness spreads in the world, we may go on knocking the doors after doors, erecting solutions after solutions. The present situation is such that we cannot escape from the present impasse. I think I have spoken at length today beyond my time limit, but let me, within next 2-3 minutes, sum up my present statement, because I spoke of 4 solutions and I have expanded only 3. And I reserve the 4th one for the next one and still develop it further next time. And then I would like to then deal with the problem of reason and also deal with the problem of ego and the individual. Because unless we analyze these terms very neatly, we will not be able to understand the significance of the problem and the solution and the tremendous works that Sri Aurobindo and the mother have accomplished. So I would like to stop here now.